The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, May 4th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Join us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, interviews, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. It's going to be a fun one, so strap in tight. And joining me on my left in the newly redesigned Rolla J Studios, my good friend and our engineer, Ganja John.
Hey, everybody. How's it going today? Sorry we started the show, I think, about 13 seconds late. That was my fault. I forgot to save my playlist. So
oh, you got to save the playlist.
Yeah, I had the playlist up. It was done, but I forgot to save it.
Ah, that happens. Yeah. And joining us in our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey guys, thanks for all your hard work on the new studio.
Oh, we're getting there. Jay gave us this board, this 24x4 Mackie board, and I read the downloaded the manual, read it, went over all the diagrams, thought I had it all worked out, and of course I was wrong. It was a complete disaster. So I think I know what I'll be doing later tonight. Anyway, coming up on our show today, you'll notice on the webcam, we're missing our webcam Max. Part of the redesign of the studio was to upgrade our machines to Windows 7, and the webcam Max software is not working properly, and I don't get the radio automator working properly on my side.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a cluster.
Should do one more upgrade to Linux. Just kidding. I kid.
Anyway, Carrie brings us our news headlines right after our first break. So what do we have on store today?
Well, today, of course, is the first day back since the weekend. So we're going to talk about those amazing marches that were held by brave activists all across the country. We're going to do an update from a case back east that you guys have shown that you have, there are a lot of tension in. And also we're going to look at that shooting down in Arizona and how that ties in with the cannabis law reform.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. We'll keep you on hold and get right back to you right after this first break. Also coming up on today's show, it is Electric Tuesday, and that, of course, is when we bring you all of our music from the genres of electronica and house and techno and experimental. Sarah Kant will be here to get us our latest song, and I was going to pull up the name of it. Let's see where we got that there.
I got it. It's the song is called Anywhere But Here by Behavior, I believe.
By Behavior. Okay. Anywhere But Here by Behavior. And then at the bottom of the hour, it's time for our California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner. Today, he will be bringing us Eugene Davidovich, who was recently exonerated in his trials, to discuss the reign of DA Bonnie Dumanis down there, who is just trying to take down anything involving medical marijuana. And then at the end of the show, we'll discuss the marches and activism just a little bit more and what it means to get involved with Normal. So stick around. This is the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We'll be right back after these messages. Please visit our sponsors. Check out their websites. Click on the advertisements on our blog at stash.normal.org. When you click, it helps us get more advertising. So please help us help you. We're right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name. Just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
This weekend, hundreds of protests were held in cities across the nation and across the world to protest prohibition of cannabis and demand cannabis law reform. The march in Portland, Oregon was blessed with great weather, despite the forecast, and as many as 2,000 people filled the city square for a day of activism and networking. Protesters in other places, including Montana, Virginia, and Chicago, and Illinois, urged their states to legalize marijuana, and many praised the efforts of California, Washington, and Oregon to try to get legalization measures on their ballots. Smaller marches of 50 to 100 people came out in places like Tucson, Salt Lake City, and smaller communities in upstate New York, Wisconsin, and others. In Toronto, Canada, a crowd estimate of between 20,000 and 40,000 people took to the streets to demand legalization. A few hundred people turned up in Austin, Texas, Peoria, Illinois, and Richmond, Virginia. Some student protests were held on college campuses, like the 300 students that showed up at East Carolina University and held a freedom rally in front of their campus library. I think I was most impressed with some of the smaller rallies, like the one in Birmingham, New York, where a small group of people seemed to get their message across just by talking to people passing by and granting interviews with local media. There were dozens of small, less than 20 people rallies all over upstate New York and no doubt other small communities in the country. Few problems were reported. A man fell out of a tree in the large Toronto protest and had to be hospitalized. And two tickets were issued in Denver at a surprisingly small rally of about 100. While writing out the tickets, the crowd turned on the police, chanting and surrounding the incident, and that prompted dozens of police cars to arrive to the area, but no other tickets were issued. The annual worldwide event usually shares the weekend with Cinco de Mayo celebrations and Mexican cultural festivals across the nation, and this year, because of the recent Arizona immigration law just passed, those events were largely protest rallies that attracted thousands and stole much of the media coverage on local news stations.
Well, yeah, that was the effect that we had here in Oregon. Our march here in Portland, we had probably about 1,000 people or close to 1,000 people marching and participating in the square. But when we turned on the local news to catch all the information, it was not only Cinco de Mayo, but also the May Day protests. You know, a lot of folks in countries other than America celebrate their Labor Day as May Day is what they call it. And so there's the whole labor and immigration thing combining. And so, yeah, we did get overshadowed. Did you catch any media on it?
I caught a little bit. I actually had to go to dialysis right at, well, not after the march, kind of during the march. Yeah. At about 3:30, I had to do a makeup dialysis. But watching the May Day stuff, it's kind of unfortunate, at least with our local news, because of the local anarchists around here. You know, that's what they focused on, were the anarchists at the May Day rally. Thankfully, they didn't cause any trouble. you know, but we had an excellent time at the march.
So, oh, yeah. Good time. And I want to give big kudos to our own Cannabis Carrie, who delivered her first speech as a major cannabis activist. It was
that
amazing.
Was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, guys. It was a little crazy. A little nail biting there.
Well, you had to have seen Carrie give the speech because she was going total. She did the full Palin on the speech. She had all these points written down on the palm of her hand, right? So, like, there's one point on her finger and another point on another finger and things on her palm. And Carrie was giving a speech about hemp, right? Because there's a lot of people that'll give talks about, you know, medical marijuana or recreational use, you know, legalization for all. But we, you know, Scott Gordon from Herb Age Designs, who was running the show basically, needed a speaker on hemp. So we asked Carrie. And so Carrie had all these great points written down on her hand. And so she's up there on stage and really got the crowd riled. I mean, they were cheering and just, you know, shouting and just loving what you were saying. And then she'd finish up a point, and as they're all cheering and stuff, she kind of like rub her hands together like, ah, yes, my dearies, right? And then glance over there at the point, like open the
hand. It would be all
smudged. I just want to say for the record, it didn't work. If anybody has to give a public speech, it just don't even bother writing it on your hand. It really won't work.
And those of you out there, you can check that out on YouTube if you like.
Yeah, it is on YouTube.
All right. And a case that got an incredible amount of media attention this last weekend was that of an Arizona sheriff's deputy who was shot and wounded in the desert south of Phoenix, Arizona. Deputy Louis Perrault, 53, was patrolling near Interstate 8 when he came upon a stash of marijuana bales and five suspected smugglers. At least one of the suspects opened fire on him. A running gun battle ensued with at least 30 shots exchanged, probably many more. Villar said the deputy used his pistol until it either jammed or ran out of bullets, then discarded the gun and began firing with his tactile rifle. At some point, he was hit in the back, the bullet tearing out a chunk of flesh. The deputy believes it is likely that he shot one of the smugglers, but searchers have found no evidence of that. Perrault used his cell phone to call dispatchers for help, setting off a frantic hour-long search highlighted on television by traffic helicopters that reported the entire drama played out in the remote desert. The area is a well-known smuggling corridor for drugs and illegal immigrants headed from Mexico to Phoenix and the U.S. interior. A day later, 17 illegal immigrants, including three who may have been involved in the incident, were taken into custody in the area. The others are not believed to have been involved in the shootings. Deputy Perrault is expected to make a full recovery and was released from the hospital after spending several hours getting treatment for the gunshot wound. Arizona politicians who have come under fire nationally due to the new immigration law just passed in the state were busy highlighting the case as an example of why the new law is needed. Criticism of the new law figures prominently at rallies and marches across the nation this weekend to oppose the new restrictions in Arizona, including the thousands that turned out in Tucson and Phoenix.
Wow. People shooting each other over bales of plant material. You know, it's really ludicrous when you think about it. You know, the headlines always want to talk about drug smugglers and a drug shootout and fighting over drugs. But really, they're fighting over a weed. They're fighting over a plant. We're chasing people down. We're putting people at risk, both the law enforcement and the smugglers here, putting them at risk over plant material. And, you know, I worry just as much for cops getting shot over weed as I do the people like us who are using it, buying it, selling it, cultivating it. I mean, I've got two relatives of mine who are sheriff's deputies in my home county, and I don't want them to have to get shot, you know, serving some warrant over, you know, something I'm doing pretty much legally here in this state. You know, it's ridiculous, and we need to end the prohibition. This is why, yet another reason why medical marijuana doesn't cut it. I mean, medical marijuana is a beautiful thing in that it takes the sick and dying people and removes them from the battlefield, the war on drugs in some respects, although they still face all sorts of persecution and prosecution depending on where they live, right? You know, San Diego doesn't help much if you're legal there. But it's not going to solve these problems. Medical is not going to solve the overall problem of the violence involved in the market. It's not going to solve the overall problem of people, you know, willing to die over plant material. We've got to legalize for all people. Medical does not go far enough.
In the interesting case of John Ray Wilson, the New Jersey man with MS who was convicted of growing a couple of marijuana plants in his backyard, During his trial last year, Mr. Wilson was not allowed to tell jurors that he had the disease or that he grew the marijuana because he couldn't afford traditional MS medicine that costs more than $3,000 a month. Shortly after his conviction, New Jersey adopted a medical marijuana law that would have benefited the 37-year-old man. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison for manufacturing and possession. He has been forced to stay in prison while awaiting for his appeal case. Finally, his lawyers were able to convince a New Jersey judge that he should be released while he appeals his drug conviction, and last week, the courts finally allowed it. After posting $15,000 in bail money, Mr. Wilson was released from prison to cheers from a few friends and close family. His mother was shocked that he was so shaggy, but he explained that the prison razors hurt his face too much to shave. He said that he was due to begin receiving his traditional MS drugs on Friday, the day after his release, but he declined. He will not be able to afford the $3,000 a month while he is out on bail. He says he will also say no to medical marijuana until it officially becomes legal in New Jersey on August 1st, saying that whenever they open the program, he will register and abide by the law. That means he will no longer be able to grow it himself, but get it from a state-authorized treatment center as soon as the state opens one. For advocates of medical marijuana in the state of New Jersey, they point to this case as an example of how the system currently gets these cases wrong. Mr. Wilson was not selling or even sharing his medicine and using it to treat his symptoms. Since he was arrested, he suffers from chronic muscle spasms, but according to him, otherwise his health is okay at the moment. If his conviction holds up, Mr. Wilson would be barred from using any illicit substances, including his medical marijuana, and be forced to have regular drug tests for 5 years after imprisonment.
Every way you look at this, it just gets worse and worse for John Ray Wilson. Of course, the legal trouble that he's in now, had he been caught, you know, just a year later, everything would have been, you know, a lot better for him because this law has passed. But it, and this thing where he has to pay $3,000 a month for his conventional MS drugs, you got that, and then so he could grow marijuana, right, at a much less cost than $3,000 a month. But now, with the New Jersey law, he can't do that because you're not allowed to grow at home. So he's going to have to go to a dispensary. And if this dispensary is going to be charging him, what, $300 an ounce, $400 an ounce, who knows what it's going to be. But if they end up charging him that, he might end up spending, you know, $600 to $900 per month, depending on how much marijuana he needs to be able to take care of his conditions. Fleecing the patients, getting that money out of the patients, it's just disgusting. Now, Fallibilist in our chat room had a very interesting question about why are judges allowed to be able to tell defendants they can't talk about their MS or they can't talk about their medical use of marijuana. It's a travesty of justice. If he were on trial for theft, suppose he had stolen a loaf of bread, Jean Valjean, right? Les Miserables. He had stolen a loaf of bread. The judge wouldn't just say, oh, you're a thief, you got this punishment. They'd be allowed to explain, well, my children were hungry, we're homeless, we had nothing, you know, the bread was there. You know, he'd be able to make a case. But with marijuana, medical use, they're not allowed to. And the reason the judges are allowed to do this is because there is no such thing as medical marijuana. At least in New Jersey at that time, or at least in a federal trial, there is no such thing as medical marijuana. So how can you offer a defense that you were doing something that doesn't exist? Now, of course, I think that's ridiculous. You think that's ridiculous. But that's the way the law is written right now. And that's what the medical marijuana patients are facing in federal trials or facing in states that don't have medical use laws, is that they go before a judge. And the only thing the judge will allow the jury to hear is, did this person, yes or no, have marijuana on their person? Did this person, yes or no, were they growing marijuana in their home? That's it. If you're growing marijuana in your home, you are manufacturing drugs, you're a druggie, go to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Despite the fact that, well, wait, I have multiple sclerosis. Well, wait, I was growing it medically. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter in the eyes of the law, because this is just a case of whether or not you're involved with Schedule I illicit substances. And so medicine doesn't have anything to do with it in the eyes of the law. This is why, again, we need to change these laws and we need to get active. And even for people in the medical states, these people, Eugene Davidovich, we'll hear from later, Donna Lambert, all these defendants in California, the most medical state in so many respects Even they face difficulties because they end up in federal court, or the local DAs will turn the case over to the feds because they know they can't get a conviction from the locals who believe in the law, who voted for the law, who support the law overwhelmingly, 60 to 70% these days. They know they can't get a conviction. They send it to the feds, where these people are unable to mount a realistic and just defense for their actions. Okay, folks, well, I'm looking up at the clock. It's 20 after the hour, and the East Coast is celebrating already, I'm sure. Pull a long one for me. Hold it for just a second. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Oh boy, folks, we are really flying by the seat of our pants here. We're getting Sarah Kant on the line from Boston, and I'm waiting to get the note here from Carrie. All right, looks like we've got her on the line, so let's go to Sarah on the Skype line there. Sarah, can you hear me okay? Hi, Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Sarah, are you there?
I thought you meant on the computer.
We can hear Sarah, but Sarah can't hear us for some reason.
Oh no!
Is she muted over there?
Oh, probably yes. There we go.
Russ isn't used to doing this job. When the way that we set the studio up around, you know, he's doing one of my jobs. So
I'm so confused. Sarah, can you hear me now, darling?
I can hear you now.
Oh, fantastic! Let's get right to it. Give us the headlines on the song today.
All right, from Montreal in Quebec, Canada, Behavior is a side project of composer and producer Michael McCann. His credits include the critically acclaimed score for console game Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, Double Agent, trailers, television shows, advertisement campaigns, films such as It's All Gone, Pete Tong, and Burning Mussolini, a recent six-part miniseries for the Discovery Channel, and even promotional videos for the Canadian Space Agency. Michael has upcoming tour dates as Behavior in New York City and in Poland. Anywhere But Here is a nuanced hybrid of electronica, scat, jazz, and trip-hop as lauded as its creator. Originally appearing on 2001 debut album, The Story of the Mechanical Man, the remix was the opening theme for TV series Regenesis and was nominated for Best Television Theme at the Hollywood Music Awards in 2008. The video for this intense and original song is currently airing on Much Music Canada. The recognition is no surprise given the torn beats, complex lyrics delivered by the beautiful female vocals of Andrea Ravel, and slick bass line of this non-traditional and fun song. Find more from Michael McCann at his website at behaviormusic.com and on MySpace at username Behavior Music. After you've had a day of working hard with a mini on concrete, or perhaps have been waiting on the proverbial corner and are feeling heavy, let this track take you anywhere but where you are as you smoke up.
All right. Sarah, thank you so much. Let's play that tune. This is Behavior with Anywhere But Here. You'll be able to download this soon up on our website at stash.normal.org. Look in the Toker Tunes under the media heading. Time to check our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Today, on Tuesday, May 4th, Holland Normal is having their meeting. Now, that's not the Netherlands. That's Holland, Michigan, at the Herrick Library. So check that out, starting at 7:30 and running till 8:30. CSU Fresno Normal is having their meeting at the Family Food and Science Building, room 216A, on the campus of CSU Fresno in Fresno, California. That's also today, Wednesday, May 5th. On Thursday, May 6th, the University of New Hampshire Normal is having their monthly meeting. Philly Normal is having their open meeting at the A Space at 4722 Baltimore Avenue. They always meet on the first and third Thursdays of each month at 7:30 p.m. There's also a monthly online meeting for Ohio Normal for all members via Pal Talk. Check out the cannabis community calendar for the link to get onto that Pal Talk. And then I don't have anything specifically listed for Friday, May 7th, but Saturday, May 8th begins the Guerrilla Union Spring Gathering in San Bernardino, California. I'll be appearing there on a panel with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, and I'm not exactly sure what the panel is discussing, but I believe it's legalization efforts in the West Coast states, so check me out there in San Bernardino on Saturday, May 8th. KC's Global Marijuana March. This is Kansas City, Missouri. They're having theirs on the 8th. Some of the cities were going to have theirs on the 8th instead of the 1st because of the conflict with May Day events or because of rain events. So I believe Kansas City Normal's having theirs starting at high noon at the J.C. Nichols Fountain in Kansas City, Missouri. A May Normal meeting is taking place at the World Beat Center in San Diego. This is for Southern California Normal. Check them out at scnormal.org. I'm sorry, normalsc.org. The Northern Michigan Compassion Club is meeting at the Horizon Bookstore in Petoskey, Michigan. A Worldwide Marijuana March also taking place, looks like, in Southern Florida. We've got a number there for Hollywood Beach. Contact Karen or Dale. Their numbers are available up on the website. Oregon Normal is having their twice-monthly cardholder meeting at the Village Ballroom, 700 Northeast Deakin in Portland, Oregon. You do need to be a medical marijuana cardholder to attend. Central Ohio Normal is having a meetup at the Panera Bread, and Cleveland Normal is having their meeting at the Boneyard in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. For information on all of these events, including the names, email addresses, websites, phone numbers, maps, and so on, check out the Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at norml.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, this is Cheech Marin, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
Hi, I'm Eric Brenner, host of the California Marijuana Report. You know, the most important weapon we have in fighting the war on drugs is information and publicity. Please take a moment to call District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis in San Diego County at area code 619-531-4311 or area code 619-843-7977. Demand that District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis drop all charges against medical marijuana patient Donna Lambert. And let's end this war on marijuana and free all the California marijuana prisoners. Joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report is Eugene Davinovich, fresh out of a courtroom victory on March 25th against Operation Green RX and District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis in San Diego County. Eugene Davinovich, welcome back to the California Marijuana Report and congratulations on this tremendous victory in court.
Thank you very much. much, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here with you again. And just like you said it, and the 12 jurors came back in less than 4 hours and returned a not guilty verdict on all counts on March 25th. It was an amazing time.
How worried were you during those final hours?
I was extremely worried. As a matter of fact, up until minutes until the verdict was read, in fact, right as we were sitting in the at the defense table when the jurors were walking out, my attorney, Mr. McCabe, he told me that if the jurors return a guilty verdict, then there's a good chance that they might remain into custody right here, right now. So I actually had to turn over my cell phone and my wallet and everything I had on me to my attorney just in case that they took me into custody so that he had my belongings. So really, up until the very last minute before the verdict was read, I had no idea what the outcome was going to be, and I was extremely worried about not-so-positive verdict.
At your website, apparently they have not returned your property. Talk about what property they seized and why. What is their rationale?
Well, on February 3rd of 2009, which is when my house was raided and I was arrested and charged with the initial felonies and everything, they seized a number of my personal items from my vehicle that was parked in my house at the time, in the parking lot. They seized 14 grams of concentrated cannabis. They seized 34 grams, which is a little bit over an ounce, of dried cannabis flowers. They seized my passport, my cell phone. They seized a number of other personal papers from my vehicle, as well as other belongings that were all taken in and kept for over a year now. And really, my concern is my passport, my phone, my belongings that are still being held by the San Diego Police Department. Now, the day that the verdict was read, on March 25th, I specifically told the district attorney that I would want my property back and that we will be seeking to have it returned. The DA at that point refused to return the property. Since then, we have called them numerous times, asking them to not force us to take this issue to court and to just simply return the property back. But they refused again. They first didn't return any phone calls until we were forced to write them a letter of demand asking them to return the property. So even after this letter of demand was sent, basically threatening them that if they don't immediately return my property, that we would file a return of property motion, take this to court, and on top of it, we would ask that the district attorney office be responsible for paying attorney fees for the filing of this motion. They, again, refused to respond to that letter as well, so we were forced to take this issue to court. A couple of days ago, we went to see Judge Zamowski in Department 12 in San Diego for a return of property motion. He heard the motion and very begrudgingly approved it. In fact, he said, even though I don't agree with this, I don't have a choice. The motion is granted.
It's unbelievable, Eugene. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that a judge would let his comments and personal feelings be known in a case such as this. What kind of response did your attorney have when he said that?
Nothing. We just remained silent, waiting for him to give his approval or denial on this motion. And as soon as he granted it, we presented the judge with a pre-written order for the return of the property, which he immediately signed. It was a very quick hearing. We walked out of the courtroom with a signed and sealed order from the judge to have my property returned. Now, the next step is actually getting the property, trying to pry it out of the San Diego Police Department's hands. And one problem with that is the person in charge of the evidence is Detective Conrad DeCastro of the San Diego Police Department, as well as the Narcotics Task Force. That is the same detective who confiscated my stuff. That is the same detective who is in charge of Operation Green RX and who has testified in court on numerous occasions that marijuana is not medicine and that it is all federally illegal.
So this is a man
who is going to have to be returning the property back to me and my attorney. We've been contacting him today, and we'll continue to contact him until we're able to get the property back. So I'm hoping in the next day or two we'll be going to the San Diego Police Department to pick up the 14 grams concentrated cannabis, the 34 grams of dried cannabis flowers, as well as all my personal belongings.
Eugene, I hope Detective DeCastro follows the judge's orders and returns your marijuana. What is your attorney, Mr. McCabe, prepared to do to expedite this process?
Prepared to retrieve our as the judge has ordered. And we're prepared to fight it all the way. Property was seized illegally in a illegitimate investigation with an illegitimate and illegal search warrant. And the property, in effect, was... And currently, Detective DeCastro is in possession of this stolen property, as far as I'm concerned. And if he doesn't return it, and if the San Diego Police Department doesn't return the property, which is rightfully owned, to me, and again, my main concern here is the passport, the cell phone, and my personal belongings. And if they don't choose to return that, then of course there will be more litigation and more of my resources wasted and taxpayers' resources wasted on this frivolous.
All right. Well, Eugene, we're going to be following this aspect of your ongoing battle with the San Diego District Attorney's Office and apparently the San Diego Police Department.
The return of property motion goes as well as this, as well as our continued effort to stop Operation Green RX, which is an ongoing investigation where Detective DeCastro and the rest of the detectives from our local narcotics task force go around, lie to collectives, lie to doctors, join legitimately as patients, and then raid them and drag legitimate patients through years of prosecutions and persecutions through the court system. This sort of thing should be figured out in the legislature. It should not be figured out on the backs of innocent people.
Eugene, let's switch gears a little bit, if we may. May 10th is coming up. Joseph Nunez
was forced to take a plea bargain by the U.S. Attorney's Office, which his case is federal. He is one of two federal defendants. Joe Nunez and James Stacy are two very, very critical trials and cases here in San Diego. May 10th, Joe Nunez will be sentenced for operating a legal, legitimate medical marijuana collective here in San Diego. During the 999 raids, District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis raided over 14 places. One of them was Joseph's collective. Joseph was charged federally. He was forced to take a plea bargain because of some extenuating circumstances that they had introduced into the equation and into the case. And he will be sentenced May 10th. It's critical that everybody who is in San Diego who is concerned about the medical marijuana issue or medical marijuana regulations, that they come out to the federal courthouse at 940 Front Street, San Diego, California.
And that's going to be at 9 a.m. in the federal courthouse. No jail time for Joe Nunez. Eugene Davinovich in San Diego County, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long. You need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green. And smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, party politics, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
For our Normal Newsmakers today, I just want to talk a little bit about activism in general and the marches that took place over this last weekend, the Global Marijuana Marches. It's something that's very near and dear to my heart because the reason I am here on this cam talking to you right now is because I went to the Million Marijuana March in 2005. That's the genesis of Radical Russ the Activist. I moved to Portland, Oregon in 2003, and then I tried to make the march in 2004. I actually, you know, 2003 was too soon. In fact, in the summer of 03, I was still having problems with my feet that necessitated surgery. Had to have surgery on both of my feet, which really bummed me out because down there in Cottage Grove, Oregon, they were having the 30th anniversary of Animal House or some stuff like that.
Oh, dude, I went to that.
You went to that?
I went to that. I was 19, I think.
Yeah.
And my dad took me to that, and we saw the Kingsman play. It was awesome.
Yeah, me feel a whole lot better.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, but it was amazing. I got pictures. I'll show you something.
Yeah, I was laid up on major opioid painkillers with two bandaged feet, unable to walk anywhere. But hey, I'm glad you had fun, John.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that in a long time. Thanks, Russ.
Anyway, so I couldn't make the march in 2003. I tried to make the march in 2004, but I showed up late. Like, you know, they said the march was at noon, and I'm like, yeah, stoners. You know, so I think I showed up at, 12:30 or something, and they were gone, John.
Yeah. You know, ganja, John. Yeah, but when we got back from the march this time, there was probably 25% more people there going, what happened?
Yeah.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, you got to get there. We are on time, absolutely. So finally, in 2005, I did get to the march on time and brought a sign. I brought this flag that I had made. I had made it was on poster board, but this big old picture of the United States flag, and in the stripes of the flag were all these quotes about prohibition that I've collected over the years. Ronald Reagan and Jack Nicholson, I mean, just everybody talking about weed in one way or another. And that kind of led me to meeting Anna Diaz. Anna Diaz had been reading my blog posts. I had been blogging for a long time up to that, and she just caught some of my posts and been following me. She introduced me to Madeline Martinez. Madeline Martinez asked, you know, hey, what's going on? Do you want to get involved? I said, yeah, I want to get involved. Next thing you know, 2 weeks later, I'm on a TV show with her. You know, I was getting involved faster than you could expect, you know, and that's the thing that happens at these marches. If you really put your heart into it and you make the effort to go meet people, amazing things can happen. There's that old Margaret Mead quote, you know, never doubt that a small band of deeply committed citizens can change the world. In fact, that's often the only thing that ever has. Yeah. I've probably slaughtered the quote, yeah, but that's the basic idea of it. And truly, that's what's going on in Normal chapters all around this country. Of course, my experience in coming up with Oregon Normal was literally, you know, me and Madeline and, you know, two or three others on this. It was a 5-person board originally, sitting around her dining room table, you know, trimming buds and making plans. And that's turned into everything that we've done here at Oregon Normal. We've got so many chapters, and folks, if you want to get involved with Normal, it's really, really easy. You can send me an email to start@normal.org. And that's we have a volunteer, another volunteer who helps here, who gets those emails and sends back out to you, the instructions on how to get started. But I'll give it to you in a thumbnail. It's really, really pretty simple here. All you got to do is you get to get 5 people together who want to form the board of a nonprofit organization. You make this nonprofit organization, you apply for that organization to be a part of Normal, and there you go. You're a chapter. The part that kind of trips people up sometimes is the whole nonprofit organization, because then you're dealing with the Secretary of State in your state or Commonwealth, if you happen to be in one. Then people are worried about the paperwork and all that. Don't let that throw you. There's been so many chapters who've already gone through it, maybe even in your state, that you can get help from those people. And they may already have the forms and know where to get them and help you fill them out. Failing that, I can help you find an attorney from the Normal Legal Committee who might be interested in helping you out in getting those forms filed and so on. People worry about, well, what about the money? You know, it's going to cost money to form a chapter to fill all this paperwork out and such. Well, we can have ways of allowing you to be a provisional chapter to have a fundraiser so that you can get the money and put that toward getting your Secretary of State's nonprofit organization filled out. If you want to have a chapter, we're going to find a way to make it happen, okay? So just send me that email. The more the merrier. That's right. Yeah. The more the merrier. That's what we need. Start@normal.org. We'll get you taken care of. But before you do that, check to see if there's a local chapter in your area. All you got to do is go to normal.org/chapters, and you'll find the whole list, you know, alphabetical by state, of all the chapters in your area. I have recently culled through that list to make sure that every contact on there, at least as close as I can guarantee, you know, month by month. But every contact on there is there's somebody on the other end who wants you to get involved to help them out. And that's where the magic happens, is getting involved at the local level. I also got to let people know, you know, a lot of people like to contribute and donate and join National Normal. And hey, we're all for that. We love that. That's great. But if there's a local chapter in your area, join that local chapter. Here's a little secret. If you join National Normal, it costs you $25 a year and you've joined National Normal. But if you join your local Normal chapter at $25 or more, you know, some chapters have a higher rate, like Oregon Normal's is $35. But if you join for $25 or more at the local chapter, you automatically get a 1-year complimentary membership to National Normal. So it's a twofer. And we do it that way because we want the local chapters to grow and thrive. We don't want to be a top-heavy, you know, hierarchical organization where all the money and talent is all at the top and we dictate down to the little peons at the bottom what to do. That's exactly the opposite of what Normal's all about. Normal is about all these local folks, local grassroots organizers getting together and forming under one common goal, one common umbrella, and that is the Normal brand, the Normal organization. This goes all the way up to the East Coast. You know, Chris Goldstein, Derek Rosenzweig out there in Philadelphia, who managed to get the district attorney to no longer arrest people in Philadelphia for marijuana possession. They're just going to do summons. It's still not decriminalized, but, you know, they've taken a step. And an important step that came from research at the local level with Derek Rosenzweig and others crunching the statistics in Philadelphia and finding that 81% of all marijuana arrests in Philadelphia were for African Americans, even though African Americans only make up 50% of Philadelphia's population. We've got activists in Waco, Texas, like Alan Carruthers and Cliff Duvall, who are in a place, you know, where a lot of people would think you'd never come out and try to say anything about marijuana, Texas, you know, Waco for that matter, and they're getting headlines. They're getting very positive results there. Normal is all over the place, and it's normal folks, and that's why I love our acronym, Normal, because it's normal folks like you and me getting together and fighting for our own rights. Now, that leads me to something here that's on the Normal front page that I wanted to get to, which is another one of our local Normal activists. This is Normal of South Florida. Her name's Karen Goldstein, and as very often I encourage people to write their local officials, you know, write your governor, write your senators, whoever, let them know that you favor changing marijuana laws. Well, of all the states, you know, in this country that are fighting for marijuana legalization or regulation or decriminalization in one way or another, you know, of all the big states like California, Illinois, Ohio, Texas, Pennsylvania, New York, Florida, of all the biggest, most populous states, is probably the least friendly marijuana state, not just of those big states, but of all states. You know, Florida has levels to reach a felony is like 20 grams or more, which is a lower threshold than even the federal law as far as becoming a felony. So anyway, South Florida's Karen Goldstein wrote to Governor Charlie Crist down there in Florida and just saying, you know, we should decriminalize cannabis. We should have medical laws in Florida. And so she got this response, and I just wanted to read some of this response from the governor's official director of the Office of Drug Control. Let me see. I'm winging it here. We're going to hope and see if this effect comes on. Hold on a moment. Dear Mrs. Goldstein. Nope, no effect. No. Okay, well, we tried. Dear Mrs. Goldstein, Governor Crist received your email and forwarded it to me for a response. It is important to understand that our federal and state drug control policies have one overarching goal, to reduce and, if possible, eliminate the use of illicit drugs like marijuana. Okay, pause for a moment here. Look, you will never eliminate the use of marijuana. Let me just get that out of the way. We will always smoke it. We will always grow it. It's a houseplant we can grow in a closet. You will never eliminate it. Now, as far as reducing marijuana use, we haven't seen that the drug war's done any of that either, so no reason to continue what we're doing there. He continues, establishing a taxed and regulated legal market for adult marijuana users would not advance the goal of our drug policies. Yet, you know, here's an interesting thing. The use of tobacco among youth and adults is at its lowest rates ever. I don't recall arresting anyone to make that happen. Anyway, First, legal access to marijuana would likely result in steep usage rate increases. Would it? Would it really? Legalizing marijuana would really lead to steep usage rate increases? Look, everybody who wants to smoke pot is, right? High school kids can always tell us, 70 to 80% of them say it's fairly easy to get marijuana. Between the ages of 18 and 25, one out of four people are using marijuana, more than one out of four, 28% are using marijuana at least once per year, more than one out of 10, 11.2% are using marijuana at least once a day, or twice a week, excuse me, more than 100 days a year. So it's not like people aren't able to use marijuana now, right? So let's, you know, I don't know if there's going to be a steep usage rate increase. And second of all, would it be so bad if marijuana use went up? If in marijuana use going up, we also saw tobacco and alcohol use going down, if we saw OxyContin abuse going down, heroin abuse, methadone going down, I would like to see more pot smokers and less junkies. I think that would be fine. So, let me go on with this letter here. Our experience with alcohol and tobacco has taught us that commercial interests weaken sensible regulatory efforts. Really, really, ask a tobacco smoker how weak they think the laws are against tobacco these days. Ask the tobacco smoker out there outside of a bar, freezing in the cold, shivering in the rain, puffing on a cigarette. Ask them what they think about the weakened sensible regulatory efforts. All right, let me go on back to the reefer madness here. A legal marijuana industry would employ promotion, advertising, and lobbying to increase demand while maintaining prices well below their current black market levels. That's half true. The prices would be below the black market levels. But why would a legal marijuana industry necessarily be promoting, advertising, and lobbying? Right? When's the last time you saw a cigarette commercial on TV? Yeah, so we can have laws that reduce the amount of advertising that can be done for a particular product. This can be done. We have sensible limits on it now with tobacco.
And with alcohol. You don't see alcohol advertisements after 9 o'clock at night.
Before 9 o'clock, yeah.
Before 9 o'clock, yeah.
Exactly. Same idea. We can have sensible regulations if we regulate it. All right, let's go on. Stimulating demand while lowering prices would undoubtedly lead to both increases in the number of Americans that use marijuana as well as the intensity with which they use it. Hey, you guys haven't seen John smoke. He smokes intensely. I don't think we can increase your intensity any.
No.
Legal or illegal.
No.
You're pretty intense about it. But of course, again, stimulating demand. Why is the demand for marijuana going to go up? Here's something I always want to ask these prohibitionists who say, oh, if we legalize it, the demand will go way up. Do you think if we legalized heroin, the demand would go way up? Do you think all of a sudden everybody would want to try heroin? Boy, I can't wait to try heroin. Doggone it, it's illegal. No, it wouldn't go up. So if marijuana use is supposed to be going up so much, why would it? Maybe because people like it. Maybe because they realize it's not addictive. Maybe because they realize it's safer for them. Maybe because they realize it doesn't give them a hangover like alcohol does. Maybe because it doesn't trip them out like some of these other drugs do. It gives them a nice mellow feeling. Maybe because they get medical results from it. That's, if the demand is going up, why is that a bad thing? People demand things that they like. What's wrong with that? Anyway, let's go on. I am very concerned about the health and well-being of Florida citizens. The deaths caused each year by alcohol and tobacco represent a major cost to society that is in no way offset by the tax revenue generated by the sales of these substances. Well, once again, this is that stupid argument of, well, since alcohol and tobacco are so harmful and cost society so much, we can't legalize weed. Well, alcohol and tobacco are addictive and toxic. That's why they cost so much. Cannabis is neither of those things and wouldn't cost that much to society. And if it does cost something to society, it's costing that now. We're already paying for it, whatever it is, and I don't think it's much, but whatever it is, we're paying for it now and taking in zero taxes and spending taxpayer money to try to eradicate a houseplant. It's ridiculous on its face. All right, he goes on. Furthermore, I do not believe that the adverse consequences of marijuana use, respiratory diseases, traffic fatalities, poor school performance, dependence, etc., could ever offset the potential tax revenue it might generate. Well, first of all, adverse consequences of marijuana use, respiratory diseases, false. Donald Tashkin, 30-year study, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, lung cancer. Not only did marijuana smokers have little risk of it, they had less risk of it than people who didn't smoke anything. Traffic fatalities? Show me the bodies, I don't believe it. Poor school performance? Tell that to Carl Sagan. Dependence? Ridiculous. I'm Radical Russ. I've run out of time for ranting, but that's okay, because I got some stuff here to fix in the studio. For Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie, until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Shout out to Chandler from the Medical Marijuana March, I'm sorry. He is a friend indeed.
Thanks for being a friend indeed, Chandler. I'm Radical Russ. Tomorrow, Dr. Mitch. Tune in.
We love it. We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on, come on, time.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.